The promises and challenge of Isaiah to a people long lived in exile, of comfort, of justice, of peace, and of hope, have been the foundation of our Advent journey amidst the twists and turns of life all around us in this season. The message is clear in Isaiah. God shows up to bring new life. A message of God's faithful provision in all times and places. God's prompting that right will triumph, even in the most severely broken places, for the wholeness of all God's people, no matter what human forces seek to prove otherwise. Weeping may indeed come in the night, but joy comes in the morning, the psalmist proclaims. There are some 13 different Hebrew roots found in 27 different words for joy in the Old Testament. And we who sit on this side of the advent of Jesus often think there is no joy in the Old Testament. But there is. We read it again and again in these words of Isaiah. And while the American Heritage Dictionary defines joy as delight and happiness, and to rejoice, to fill with joy, joy as we understand it in our religious life goes much deeper and is far less dependent on what is happening in the here and now than it is in God's ability to do a new thing. It is connected directly to what God has done for God's world in Jesus Christ, in us, and continuing to lead us. Indeed, joy is a characteristic element of religious faith, says the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, connected, and I love this phrase, to tumultuous group expression. We know about that in this church. Tumultuous group expression. We feel it when we gather for worship together in expectation, in praise, in seeking God's light to come anew, to breathe in a way that we don't when we're caught up in the things of the world. It was certainly true yesterday in the buzz of children downstairs for parents morning out, or that might have been some of the sugar on the gingerbread church as well. And in the fellowship of decorating for the season upstairs, always with new twists and turns, a true cross-section of this church community come together again and again. It is seen again as we gather in this very special time with the Reyes family in many generations in celebrating the gift of Pemberley and the Reyes family together, to be reminded that we are baptized into our life with God, not by our own doing, but as a gift from God. These all bring great joy. And yet, however deeply rooted in the promise of God to be with the people, to bring good and justice and peace to the people, a characteristic of New Testament understanding of joy is that it isn't solely related to happiness, to positive feelings, to those things that might warm our hearts, but that one may rejoice even in the midst of suffering. Or rather, as I have found in witnessing the journeys of so many of you over time, so often, that out of suffering, one might find the real core of rejoicing, an energy for living into life that transforms our world. So what brings you real joy? As you think about the people who have lived out that in your lives, who are those people? I encourage you to think of that this week as we meditate on joy in this week of Advent. I would say that there is nothing quite like grief to make you realize what you appreciate in life, for those things that have real meaning for our lives. We always have a choice as to how we will live with God out of those moments of deep, deep pain, even when the road is difficult. We can dwell on what we have lost and lose sight of the and appreciate what we were gifted with while we had it. The great thing about the God that we worship, the God who is with us always, the God who comes again to us this season, is that God is ever ready to draw us out of ourselves toward new life in God, new salvation, new healing, but not just for ourselves, for our world. New power to claim the best that life has to offer. And we can live it in watchful, waiting expectation, trusting God to show up. As Pastor Siobhan has preached so eloquently these past 2 weeks of Advent, we live in hope for the true peace, the true shalom and wholeness of God's intention for full life for all the world. And in that, we may rejoice. Listen again to these words from Thessalonians that Gordon read for us. In it, we are given guidance, a guidance that we can come back to again and again. Rejoice always, for that is God's will for us. And right upon that rejoicing, Paul writes, pray without ceasing. When we think we can do nothing else, we can pray. And it's amazing to see how that sometimes opens up and clears pathways to action, to hope, to peace, even to new directions that are previously unseen by us, sometimes even surprising in the way that they might lead us. Give thanks in all circumstances. It's a message that particularly, I think, has run through like a current in this congregation in the 12 years that I've been here, that I ascribe to the African way of living and the Africans in our midst. How many times at points when there have been moments of real struggle and difficulty, that prayer, remember, God reigns. God, and not R-A-I-N-S, R-E-I-G-N-S. God brings new life. So many of you have faced challenges of life beyond what you think and you have thought that you could humanly handle. You know the stories because you've shared them with one another. We know the story, as Gladys said today, of the struggle through Michael's murder 5 years ago, which she shared so eloquently at the Rhode Island vigil on Thursday. Pastor Siobhan and I visited with Rolf Jertsen last Friday. Rolf, who is one of the youngest 80-plus-year-olds you'll ever meet in your life. Despite all of the limitations of his life that have been there for his whole life, and he gave me permission to talk about him, Rolf has a spirit of joy which cannot be quenched, a love of life and seeking to live fully into it that we would all do well to copy and get to know. Do not quench the spirit, Paul writes. This is a season of watching and waiting, a season of new spirit, a season of renewed spirit, of renewing spirit, of expectation of the Spirit of God that came in mysterious ways upon Mary, in a way that life would never be the same. God made flesh to dwell among us. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. I don't make this stuff up. It's in the Bible. They read it. It is the text for this day that we are called to preach. It is said that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And so we too step out in faith in big and small ways, not only for our own lives, but in witness to this grace we have received in Jesus Christ to bring hope and peace to a whole world. Have you been thinking about the people that show joy for you? One of the most joyful people I ever met was Reverend Dr. Professor Benjamin Weir, who came to the seminary where I studied my last year as a professor of missions. Because I knew that I was marrying Andrew and might end up somewhere other than the United States, I thought it might be good for me to leave the country for the first time in my life to see what it might be like outside of the United States. And Ben and his wife, Carol, came to teach a class on missions. He and his wife, Ben and Carol, Ben wanted us to call him Ben, not Professor, Dr. Reverend Weir. Ben and Carol had served 30 years as missionaries in Lebanon, teaching at the Near East School of Theology. The name might be familiar to you because he was one of the Iranian hostages who was kidnapped in 1984 off the streets of Beirut and held hostage for 16 months. Ben, as he humbly wanted us to call him, savored his life and sought to live it to the fullest and remained deeply committed and has remained deeply committed to this day to life in fullness in the Middle East. When we asked after that time what had sustained him during his time in captivity for 16 months, he said that the stories of Scripture which promised the everlasting presence of God. One of his favorite practices, he said, was to line up the biblical characters and have in his mind and have them debate each other across the aisle using Scripture verses that he had memorized. Remember him saying, "You should memorize more Scripture," because I knew in those 16 months that I had not memorized enough Scripture. He had a twinkle in his eye that showed that every day, every moment was precious, and he was willing to continue to work, not just in celebration of his own freedom, but for the freedom of all people. How then shall we live with joy at our core to rejoice? Our passage in Thessalonians ends with a guiding promise. May the God of peace sanctify you entirely, make you holy, complete, whole, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who calls you is faithful. Let us continue the journey in joy, in expectation, knowing that the God who will be revealed to us again anew this season can never be taken from us, that truly with God all things are possible. Thanks be to God. Amen.